Centre Alliance MP Rebecca Sharkey has introduced a bill into the House of Representatives to ban the importation of goods made by forced labour. Her bill to amend the Customs Act would strengthen the fight against modern slavery because more than 40 million people around the world are still enslaved. The ACTU and anti-slavery advocates have endorsed the proposed legislation, and one of the groups is Be Slavery Free. Its spokeswoman is Carolyn Kitto.
Well, the bill that Rebecca Sharkey's introduced this week is probably one of the most effective potential forms of legislation to be able to address modern slavery and forced labour in supply chains. It means that business who is securing products from regions that are known to have modern slavery in their supply chain will have to prove that there is no forced labour.
What do we know about the extent of goods produced by forced labour that do come into Australia?
All of these are estimations, Andrew, because it's an illegal crime and nobody really knows. But it's estimated that worldwide it's $180 billion trade, and it's estimated that Australia is probably importing at least $18 billion worth of goods that are produced by forced labour.
$18 billion, that's a huge figure. I mean, what sort of goods are we talking about?
Probably everything that you're touching or wearing or likely to eat today, unfortunately, Andrew. One of the key things is cotton products. So there are three countries in the world that are amongst the top five cotton growers that use state-enforced forced labour to grow cotton. So there's a pretty high likelihood of cotton. And then garments are made in regions like the Xinjiang region of China, where Uyghur and Turkic minority groups are put into re-education camps and forced to work to produce those garments. It would be garments, it would be electronics, it would be food like tomatoes that also come from the Xinjiang region. We actually import grapes from that region as well. So it competes with Australian business. It competes with Australian farmers and people who are primary producers of products because very, very cheap products are flooding the market because people are not paying wages.
We should just point out that the most ubiquitous product of all these days, the mobile phone, often contains materials where there's a big question mark over the treatment of labour.
Yes. So the metals such as cobalt and so on that are required to be in mobile phones often come from illegal mining where children are used because their bodies are smaller, so you don't have to build as big a mine shaft if you're using children. But then the manufacturing of these products may often happen in a place like Xinjiang. And so companies like Apple have been shown to be very complicit with this issue. The big issue for Australia at the moment, as we're discussing what we're going to do about climate change, and we hope that parties, as they start to promise leading up to the election, all sorts of benefits on solar, which we are totally for, but 82% of the solar panels imported into Australia either are made or have silicon components which are produced in Xinjiang, likely by Uyghur forced labour.
How, in effect, if this bill is passed, would the ban work? I mean, what role would customs officials have?
Yes, it would be that Australian Border Force would need to be resourced to undertake this role. One of the great things is that we're not going first. So this kind of legislation has been in the US for quite some time, and Canada is now starting to engage with it. So it basically would require the government to produce a list that says, we think these are the high-risk regions of the world and we think these are the high-risk products. So if you are importing a high-risk product from a high-risk region, we can seize that product until you can give us the documentation to say that you've traced that supply chain and you know where it comes from.
This legislation has passed the Senate. Was it opposed by the government?
Yes, unfortunately, it was opposed by the coalition. they wanted more detail. And our message to them was, if you want more detail, we're really happy to work with you on more detail. And I'm sure Rebecca Sharkey will be as well. There was a Senate inquiry. The Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade Senate Standing Committee did an inquiry, and there was a bipartisan unanimous report which came out of that. We were very, very happy with the report chaired by Senator Abetz, but we were not happy with the coalition deciding that at this time they would not support it in the Senate.
What's the basis of anyone opposing a bill that bans forced labour or modern slavery?
That's a really, really good question. And I guess one of the things that we would be wanting to say to Scott Morrison in his maiden speech, he named one of his heroes as William Wilberforce. Well, get on the bus. If you are naming people like that as your heroes, then you need to be contributing to ending modern slavery. There is a debate around whether Australia is going to be a high regulatory country or a low regulatory country, and the different parties have different positions on that. However, just in the last couple of days, the Australian Retail Association has come out and said, when it comes to creating a level playing field for business, there needs to be regulation that everyone complies with so that no one is advantaged by not paying wages.
You mentioned the Retailers Association. I understand that. What about elsewhere in the business community? What is their attitude to the importation of goods produced by forced labour?
They are all incredibly concerned and are looking for government support in how they address this matter. It's quite complex because if they have staff in places, particularly where state enforced forced labour is happening, those staff could be in danger. If they come out with statements, and this has happened in relation to cotton from the Xinjiang region of China, some very large companies like H&M came out and said that they would not source cotton products from that region anymore. There was I don't understand exactly how this works, but there was a bot sponsored by the state that went out against H&M. They had to close a quarter of their stores in China.
A social media bot that was targeting H&M because it decided not to stock goods produced by forced labour.
Yes, correct.
What has the Chinese government said about goods that you believe are produced by forced labour?
The Chinese government's response is that this is all a beat up and that there is no forced labour and no issue with minority groups and Uyghur groups in China.
Can the consumer do anything at an individual level? Because you may have a label which states the country of origin where the product was made, but I guess those countries that practice forced labour aren't going to be honest and label it as such. So, I mean, is there anything a consumer can do?
It is tricky, Andrew, and we are incredibly aware of that. And NGOs are screaming out for the kind of funding that would be needed to support consumers to do this. Let me just give you an example. There was an article in the South China Morning Post earlier this year about tomatoes grown in Xinjiang, processed in Xinjiang into triple concentrate. That triple concentrate tomato paste was then exported to Italy, where it was watered down to double concentrate and salt was added, and it was sold as made in Italy. And of course, everybody thinks, well, Italian tomatoes are the best. I think the ones in my backyard are, but that's how tricky this can become. What we say to consumers is get informed, whether it's around the clothes you wear, the chocolate you eat, choose an area and get informed. And there are resources. Baptist World Aid Australia produces the Ethical Fashion Guide. We produce a guide where we score the 40 biggest chocolate companies in the world. So choose an issue. Get educated about it. Use the resources that NGOs have already provided for you and start asking those companies what they are doing and tell them that you are a consumer of their products, you want to buy their products, but you also want to know there's no human rights violations.
Carolyn Kitto of the group Be Slavery Free, and this is the Religion and Ethics Report.